I was sitting in the parking lot. This was after work. Like, should I do this? Should I not? I was there for like a whole half hour.
Wow.
Battling mentally.
What do you think you were afraid of in taking that leap to start a change?
I'm like thinking, if I go to this gym, being with this crowd of individuals who have been here so many times and are physically fit, you know, I feel like they'll look at me and think something like, oh, look at that fatty over there, right?
As a son of immigrants, JP followed the expected path. Get good grades, land a stable job, work hard. And he did all of that. But success came with a price. At 31, JP faced a health scare that would change everything. He had to make a choice. Accept the labels that had defined him his whole life. The smart kid, not the athletic type. The one who sits on the sidelines. Or take a step outside of the identity he had given himself. Today, we'll talk to JP, who went from weighing his heaviest at 240 pounds to running marathons around the world. What made him choose transformation over comfort? And what can his journey teach us about the choice of redefining ourselves for the better? I'm Maliu Garcia Pablo, and you're listening to Making Changes from INC Media Audio, a podcast about the changes we go through and the life lessons we learn along the way, but always with God by our side.
Hello, JP. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Making Changes. And, you know, when we were looking for stories on change, I had seen, because my son is a runner. He's been running ever since high school, and he just recently ran a marathon. And
it was congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I will tell him that. So we have a runner in the family, and I had seen your feed, and I saw you were a runner, but I was so intrigued and surprised when I saw that, number one, you weren't always a runner.
I was not.
And I saw your before photos, and it was almost like a different person. And so we thought, we got to find out JP's story. So tell us, like, how did you start your journey of change? Where did it begin, and what was your why?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, even when I was growing up, I was really never athletic. Mm. Even some of my closest friends will tell you that. You know, I would always be sitting on the sidelines, watching them play basketball, volleyball, and whatnot. And that was just never part of who I was before, mm-hmm. right? I was more career-driven. I focused on making sure that I, spent a lot of time at work to make sure I have, you know, a stable livelihood. But that didn't require a lot of, you know, physical demands.
But growing up, like, were you, as a kid, were you into sports? Like, were you active? What were your hobbies growing up?
So growing up, I know my parents would try to get me to be physically active. For example, I did Taekwondo for a certain amount of time. Mm. But with Taekwondo, it's like every 30 minutes every other day, something like that. That's really the only physical activity I had. Yeah. I didn't, do much. I joined others in soccer, basketball, volleyball. I didn't really do any of that. I think at the time I got turned off to it because I knew I wasn't, I'd say, good at those
you
activities.
You weren't the athlete type.
I was not. You know, there was this perception of me like, oh, he's the, you know, he's the, his nose is always in a book. He's always studying, you know, trying
you
to get A's.
You were a bookworm. You were a nerd. You were.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. So the world of athletics seemed very foreign to me even as a kid growing up.
Growing up in the, you know, immigrant family, we both come from immigrant families. What was there any emphasis when it came to health?
When it came to health, I would say it's more for, are you happy, healthy, right? Mm. Meaning, are you well fed? Are you rested, right? But with that, we don't really think about what are we eating. You know, how much are we eating? Mm. You always make sure you finish all the food on your plate.
Yes.
Right?
Lots of rice.
Lots of rice. Heavy in the carbohydrates, right? When I got home from school, it was whole plate of you know, rice and a protein, but heavier on the rice and sauces, right?
Yes.
But the definition of healthy, I believe, not only for my family, it's like, make sure you're not hungry.
That was the only goal.
Make sure you fill up. Don't go to bed hungry. Don't go to school hungry. You know, all of that. That's what healthy, for me growing up, was more about. And it's not wrong. Our parents worked hard to raise us here, make sure that the family doesn't go hungry. And now we're just making sure that we continue on that.
So how did that catch up to you? How do you think those unhealthy habits, how did that finally catch up?
With the stresses of a desk job, computer job, you look at hours on the screen, I turn to food for comfort, right? Especially in a corporate setting, folks have put in like a communal table a bunch of snacks,
yes.
You know, high in sugar, high in salt. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for that. And I'll take a few bites, but then a few bites become big bites within a half hour time frame.
Mm.
Then a half hour, 1 hour, and it just adds up.
You're just eating
exactly.
And then sitting back down and just not
exactly.
Moving.
And it's because, as I mentioned, it was that comfort for me that I had from, you know, getting food. And even growing up, I found comfort, you know, in home cooking and snacks, all that.
You mentioned comfort a lot. What do you think, why do you think you were looking for comfort? What was missing?
The stresses that came, whether it be, you know, from my job, making sure I tend to everything in my life.
Mm.
For me, the equivalent is if something just, you know, fills my belly,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
mm-hmm.
It would make me at least at ease.
Mm.
Right? And
so
I
comfort
can carry
food.
On. It's comfort, literal comfort food.
There's a photo of you I want to show you here.
Okay.
And that you have posted this.
Yes.
On your social media.
Oh, boy.
Right? So tell me about, who was this? Not the guy on the other side, but who is this? Who is this JP here?
Yeah. So this is the JP that I was describing. You know, a lot of stress at work, making sure that he made enough for his family.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a demanding job. Commuting in and out of the city. And this clearly shows that comfort food was like at the top of the list to kind of get me through my days, right? But
was this JP happy?
Looking back, he was trying to find happiness for sure. So when I I kept alluding to, you know, finding comfort food, you know, there are probably moments where, you know, I'm not at my best, you know, in terms of mentally. There are moments of sadness, for whatever reason, I turn to food, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's some momentary point of satisfaction for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say this JP was trying to find happiness, but just could not pinpoint what it would, you know, what it would be to make him happy.
Mm. How many, do you mind asking, how heavy were you here?
So my heaviest was at between 235 to 240 at the time. Yeah, I was pretty heavy at the time.
How many pounds ago was that from where you are now?
That's about 70 to 80 at this moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's another person.
It is another person. A child.
When you think back, though, before we go to your transformation, to your process of change, when you think about that JP who was 70 to 80 pounds, and you said you were looking for happiness, but you, career-wise, mm-hmm. you were set, you were making good money. What was causing the sadness, do you think?
I mean, at face value, someone with a good career, making a very good living, right, as one would say, you think he has it, right? But being around friends who themselves are, you know, physically active, you know, they'd say, hey, come play soccer with us, play volleyball with us. I had to say no, because I kept looking back and thinking, I'm scared of perception.
Mm.
I grew up not being, you know, athletic. JP is not meant to be an athlete. That's kind of
so you limited yourself. That's not you. You were the JP that was smart, successful, but not an athlete.
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just that part, not being physically active.
Yeah.
It drove a lot of sadness in hindsight for me.
Tell me more.
Because I'm like, I want to play with them, because I want to participate, you know, in all the, you know, activities that they're doing, but I know I'll always fall short. I know I don't have that dexterity, you know, to at least contribute to the team. Right.
Mm.
And those thoughts led into, you know what, let me back off and let them do their thing. Right?
It's not for me.
It's not for me. But that converted to this point of sadness for me. Like,
yeah.
I would, it's like, what ifs, you know, what could have been.
And so what was the catalyst of change for you?
So right before the pandemic, I noticed I was at work. I remember like getting some chest pains.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So I'm like, I better get this checked out. Thankfully, not to the point that I had to go into the ER or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the doctor, got some blood work done.
And you're how old at this time?
I'm 36. Oh, at the time, mm-hmm. I was about 31, 32.
Okay. Fairly young still.
Uh-huh. Right. So when I went to the doctor, you know, they called me back and they said, hey, these are your results. You're at high risk of diabetes. You're at high risk of hypertension. Essentially every bad thing in the medical book.
And every typical thing a Filipino man would get.
That is really true. High cholesterol and yeah, all that yeah, stuff, yeah, right? Yeah. And, you know, the doctor said, listen, you know, many folks, like even in our generation, mm-hmm. That happens to us a lot, especially from those who come from immigrant families. But the thing is, it's up to us now. Where do we go from here, right? That's what the doctor told me. He was trying to give me life advice.
Hope.
And hope at the same time.
Yeah.
And I sat there like, oh, wow. this is really serious. He's saying that I might cut my life much shorter mm-hmm. if I don't make a change.
Mm.
Right? So I kept thinking, what can I do? Because I'm busy. I have a job, you know, and I have matters to attend to. So, you know, because of that, I'm thinking, okay, let me try small first.
Yeah.
So why don't I try looking up diets here and there that might work? Because that's one way to start. That's when I learned about diets like the ketogenic diet, paleo diet, mm-hmm. things like that. Maybe I should start there, right? So I figured, okay, nutrition's first. Little things throughout the
mm-hmm.
day, replacing rice with a vegetable
mm-hmm.
instead, being heavier on like meats and fats,
protein.
I guess, and protein.
Good fats.
Right. And then I thought, okay, there needs to be something to complement this too. So there's a gym, you know, mm-hmm. near my house. I figured membership is not that expensive per month. Why don't I just sign up, right? I'll say this. When I went to the gym, I had this feeling of, I don't belong here.
Here you go again with the belonging.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because it's so, what's the word? It's so intimidating
yeah.
being around folks.
With who, these big muscles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I'm just big.
Okay, so you're like, oh, this isn't for me.
Exactly. I remember, though, the day that I went, I was sitting in the parking lot. This was after work. Like, should I do this? Should I not? I was there for like a whole half hour.
Wow.
Battling mentally.
Self-doubts.
A lot of self-doubt. So after thinking about it for a little bit.
What do you think you were afraid of, though? Aside from this isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you were afraid of in taking that leap to start a change? Like, if you dig deeper, mm-hmm. what were the fears about?
Well, the number one in my mind, I mentioned perception. I always, I guess growing up, what others say about me was a big deal, you know, especially from our culture.
Yes.
Right? How you look,
mm-hmm.
What you do in your life, things like that.
Going back to that, did you get a lot of the aunties and the uncles saying, hey, I'm JP and Tabamo. You're JP, you're big. You're...
All the time. It's such a constant thing. The comments coming from family members.
Yes.
Family members.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're supposed to take that to heart too.
Yes.
It may not mean a lot to them, but as the recipient of the comments, that hits you, right? And then growing up, would it just be from family members? Be from friends, from school, or you know, others.
So basically, this is the identity that they gave you. Oh, JP is the big kid, he's the big boy, and you just stuck to it because you're like, well, that's what they all know me for anyway.
Exactly. Growing up with that conditioned mindset.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking that's how I've been. So going back to being in the parking lot, I'm like thinking if I go to this gym, being with this crowd of individuals who have been here so many times
right.
and are physically fit, you know, I feel like they'll look at me and think something like, oh, look at that fatty over there, right?
Even though no one's looking at you and no one's thinking about anyone else but themselves looking in the mirror.
Exactly, exactly. Because that's how they are, right?
Hey, real quick. If you've ever struggled with how you see your body or felt like you'll never be enough, I think you'll really connect with this episode of Faith Speaks. It's called Overcoming Body Image Issues. Michelle shares what it was like growing up with body shame and how an eating disorder took over her life. But what changed everything? Her faith. She talks about how God's words helped quiet that harsh inner voice and taught her to see herself the way He does. It's honest, it's powerful, and it might just be what you need to hear.
It's undeniable love. Thank you.
Watch it now on imcmedia.org. The link is in our show notes.
When I was sitting there in my car, I'm like, let me do a quick prayer. Help me figure, something out to better my life. Should I do this or not, right? And then I thought about it, looking at what people post on social media. They post themselves. Mm-hmm. They've been through transformations themselves. Mm-hmm. And I've seen before and after, we've all seen before and after pictures of these fitness influencers.
Yes.
And I thought, you know what? They technically started somewhere, like where I am. So why don't I just take a leap forward and try it out? So I went in, signed up for a gym membership, and then started to go like probably once a week at first, small doses. And
Small habits,
right? Go there, lift weights, and
how long would you go for?
Probably like 45 minutes, half an hour. That's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. But then here's the thing. Start 45 minutes. And then when I got a bit too tired, there's some days where I'm just there for like 15 minutes, 10 minutes even. And just to say that I went to the gym.
You went, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, when I was there, the one piece of equipment, even if it's 10 minutes, that I would gravitate towards, the treadmill. Just because it's easily accessible. I know how to operate it.
Did you start to feel a physical difference in how you felt?
Yes. You know when they say that you work out, you release these endorphins.
Endorphins, yeah. Right?
I felt that. Even if it's for 10 or 15 minutes, I would break a sweat and I keep on thinking, I just did that. I think everyone who works out should have that feeling of happiness once you complete a workout.
Small wins.
It's small wins. And a lot of people need to celebrate those small
wins.
And
what about your mood? What difference did you see in your mental health from there?
I think because it was an easily digestible physical activity, I saw that being a successful point for me whenever I'm at the gym. Because I'm able to achieve, walking on an incline, doing light jogs here and there, covering a distance, no matter what the distance is, very short distances. For me, I'm like, yes, I did that. That made me happy.
How did you get yourself to keep going?
One of the biggest problems, especially for me, is finding time to work out. I would go when it was convenient for me. And then I remember, I forgot who it was, but it was an influencer, right, who said, listen, we all have busy lives, but you need to make time to work out. So that spoke to me. I thought, I really need to block off time to go to the gym. Even though I would work late, I thought the best time, wake up early, hit the gym in the morning before work.
They say that our willpower is highest in the morning.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
At first it wasn't. I just wanted to keep on sleeping and stay in bed.
Yeah. it's more comfortable.
People. Exactly.
And your diet, how did that affect how you ate?
My diet. So when it came to my diet, I realized I can't starve myself. I thought, okay, let me cut back on a few things. It started off with bread, right?
And you cut out bread.
I cut out bread at first. Yes. Then from the bread, it grew to like salads just for lunch, right? I would then eat whatever for dinner because I was still thinking I should end my day feeling comfortable.
Because of what you grew up with.
Exactly.
And don't go to bed hungry.
Exactly.
How does someone go from loving carbs to then, was it overnight? Was it cold turkey to be able to say, I'm going to cut that out of my diet and have the discipline to keep doing that?
I actually started doing cold turkey. But when I did cold turkey, meaning for like a week or two, the hunger pangs for wanting bread was too much.
Wow.
Yeah, they were
too
much.
You shocked your body.
Exactly. And I thought, okay, you know what? Why don't we just pull it back every other day? Start there.
Right? So you really did it in increments.
It had to be incremental.
Yeah.
Because of the experience I had with just sudden shocks.
Yeah.
Of taking things out completely from my diet.
So now how do you go from being on the treadmill 10 to 45 minutes, you know, being choosy with what you eat? How do you end up go from there to now running marathons?
That was actually quite a long journey in itself. So I would say when I went to the gym, I hit the treadmill. I would do like 45-minute sessions, probably just like a mile or two. Then I would be there for an hour. That would, at the time, would reach me like 3 miles or so. And then it grew to me challenging myself. Okay, why don't I do a whole 15 minutes of running?
Straight.
A walk for a minute. Exactly. I guess the impetus to me actually running races, it was from a coworker who said, hey, you run, right? I said, just on the treadmill. Well, there's like a 5K that, you know, the companies are sponsoring. Would you like to join? And immediately I thought, no, because it's a public event. Others are there. I'm not too sure if I'm ready to run a 5K, right?
There's a self-doubt creeping in again.
Exactly. It's always there. And I remember my coworker and another one saying, just try it out. We're all going to run together. So when the 5K came, low expectations, right?
Did you run the whole thing or you just ran walk?
I ran walk that first race. And I remember, you know, staying with my coworkers like for the first mile or two. And then I decided, okay, you guys go ahead. I got to walk this out. And they said, are you sure? Yeah, just go ahead. I wanted to digest it, right? I just wanted to make sure that I'm okay to finish off the last like 1.2 miles. And then I remember like the energy from the crowds, because this took place in New York City.
Wow.
Right? In downtown in New York City. And I remember the you know, the cheers from the crowds, and I thought, that's really cool, right?
And then giving you, strangers giving you high fives.
Exactly. And that was so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know these people, right? Give me high fives. So that gave me a mental boost. Like, you know what? Let me keep going. So I finished the, you know, the remaining distance of that race, and I crossed the finish line. I looked at my time, and, you know, I mentioned like I did like 3 miles, you know, like 15 minutes. I did this within 35 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, you know what? This is really fun. So I met up with my coworkers. You know, we gave each other high fives.
So now this is what month or year into your journey? By the time you did the 5K, or from that time you first came out of the doctor's office to your 5K, how long
was it? It was about a year.
About a year.
About a year that was about a year in.
So now you're just high on life because you've just crossed the finish line, finished your first race. What now?
You know, at that point when I said, oh, that felt good, right, just crossing the finish line, already there is this kind of voice in my head saying, hey, what's next for you, right? So I started to explore some other races that my coworkers wanted to try out as well. And, you know, we did a few. And then because I got so used to those races, I kept thinking, you know what? What if I increase the 5K to a 10K? So I found some races in the New York City area. Did its 10K, thought that was great in itself, and then kept getting more curious. Okay, I could handle the 10K. Half marathon is just twice that distance. Can I challenge myself to be ready for a half marathon?
So now this whole process is you're like, I'm going to do 5K. I think I can do more. What happened to the voices, the self-doubt voices?
So there were remnants of them still. You know, I could still like hear them, hear voices like saying, you know, people still perceive you as the big kid, you know, and all of that. But they weren't as loud as before.
Do you think that the voices, the self-doubt voices started to quiet down because you actually were replacing your thoughts with goals?
Yes. Yes. Because now that I had goals of distances, the types of races, you know, that I would sign up for, it's like I actually now set up something to look forward to that would erase the old JP, in essence.
The self-doubt voices didn't have as much space anymore in your brain
exactly.
as it did before.
Exactly. So the reason why I decided to pursue the marathon, you hear about the New York City Marathon.
It's hard to get into.
It's a known as a world marathon major.
Right.
There are people around the world that just fly in to run in New York City.
But they have to qualify.
They get into to qualify or through charity or the ballot process. And then there's this fourth option where if you do a certain number of races, then you'll be able to participate. Mm. So I thought, you know what? The marathon distance is twice the challenge of the 13.1 miles that I put for myself. Mm. Maybe if I give myself enough time, I can try it out, right? So I did, and I thought, okay, I have all this time now to prepare for the marathon. During that time, my curiosity got piqued. I remember seeing the London Marathon pop up on my feed, and it said, enter now, see if you can get in. And then fast forward another month, I got an email. And usually, if you get emails like that, majority of the time...
To say sorry.
Sorry, but, yeah. Try next time or qualify or whatever. I opened up the one for London, and it says, you got accepted. And I thought, wow, okay.
Now you
got
to do it.
Now I got to do it. And remember, New York City Marathon is November of 23. And I thought, when is London? April of 2023. So that 1 year of training,
gone.
It's now 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
So I had to accelerate it. You know, at the same time, my family has always wanted to go to London.
So made it a family trip.
Exactly. We made it a whole trip, too, at the same time.
I noticed in a lot of your posts, your dad is with you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is there a symbolism with that?
Yeah, there is. Growing up, he always made sure that me, my sisters, we're all taken care of, right? When the going gets tough, I could always turn to him, right? Homework, I ask for his help. Whenever I need to get to school, even when I didn't have a car for work, he would help me, right? So for him to be, there, for me, it's like, let me return the favor. So London Marathon happened in April of 23. Mm-hmm. And I was training, obviously, for New York City during that summer of 23. It was over the summer that I found out my dad had cancer. And it progressed already to an advanced stage. And it was a shock, to say the least.
Yeah.
The one who, leads our household is diagnosed. And you would think it would never happen to you. You hear about statistics all the time.
Yes.
But for it to literally hit close to home, it was a shock to me. And of course, to our entire family. And it was challenging. It was challenging. Because of that, sometimes I found myself going back to habits of, let me get some a snack here and there, just because it's too much to bear.
Comfort food.
Exactly. So those bits and pieces of my old self were still there. But it was definitely a big challenge for us.
How did your dad's diagnosis help you fully decide to really continue on and thrive in this health journey that you were on?
I remember being at the hospital one time with my dad, right? And I told him, I went for a run this morning because we got to visit him while he was staying there. I remember he told me when we were there, just make sure you keep running, keep on going because you're doing a good job, right? And that touched me.
A lot when, culturally, parents normally don't say that they're proud of you.
Right. But then I kind of saw a similarity with the way he told me to keep going with how I would treat my own faith, too, when it came to going to church, that he knows that this is tough. He obviously knows. And he taught me that, no matter what life throws at you, you still keep on going. So I thought about that, when I was talking with him, it was just me and him in the hospital room, and I got emotional thinking about that. So I thought, I'll keep on going on. Let me make sure that I'm still being cautious, nutritionally speaking, that I still have my habits of running, right? And I still had to keep going on with my job because my dad, growing up, he kept doing the same when life threw him curveballs too. Right, and he still keeps on going even despite that, despite the diagnosis.
Sometimes a diagnosis like that could turn into a crisis of faith, right? And your parents are active members in the church.
Yes.
You're an active member of the church. Yes. You're a children's worship service teacher.
I'm also in the choir and an organist as well.
Okay. So here you are trying to do everything to take care of yourself, right? Take care of yourself, take care of your family, taking care of your duties to God, making sure that as much as you were taking care of yourself, you were also making sure that you were taking care of your promises to God. So when something as shocking as now the, you know, the fate of your dad becomes uncertain, how did you deal with that challenge and not let it become a crisis of faith where you're questioning, like, why did God let my dad get sick like this?
Right. I remember I would pray so many times, you know, like even going to work, coming back from work, praying to God that, you know, he takes care of my dad, right? And I remember sitting like in a worship service, and it's not coincidental. The topic was about turning to the church elders for anointing of oil, right? That's a big part of our beliefs as members of the Church of Christ, because they help, you know, through the power of our Almighty God, right? And I'm happy that my dad said, listen, let's call on our minister, let's call on our head deacon, they'll anoint me during this time. And that, you know, that period of going through the anointing of oil, that just all the more instilled the need for faith, the need for faith despite the situation. That's my dad's faith. That's the faith I want to have when life gets rough, right? And I continue to pray, and I still pray to this day that his health is well, right? So I never let go of prayer. Actually, during that time, it actually brought me closer to God in that sense. And I saw analogies with this versus versus running, like or an actual race. I remember, like, I would want to give up every now and then, right? I want to give up. But when life throws a curveball like this, like when in running, I realized that it wasn't about how strong I was. It was about how present God is in my life. That's what that meant to me.
Do you think it also helped you just be more focused on making sure that your health is in top shape? Because obviously anything can happen.
Yes. Right?
Your dad went from being healthy and all of a sudden a cancer scare.
Exactly.
Overnight.
Yeah.
How did that contribute to your resolve? Like, I really got to take care of myself.
Our primary purpose in life is to serve our Almighty God. I had to hold on to that to continue to keep on, you know, the habits that I have now.
Yeah.
Right? Eating healthy, working out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even in the Bible that you have to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Where were you in your journey by this point?
Probably about 2 years, 2-3 years in now into the journey.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah, 2 or 3 years now. So running became just a habit at this point. I just turned to it for, as crazy as it sounds with long distances, I turned to it for comfort.
Now you've replaced comfort food with comfort of running.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you are a true runner, because when I am running, when I did my 5K, 10K half marathon, I didn't think that was any comfort at all. I was in a lot of pain. Really? I mean, your version
me,
of comfort, your version of comfort is definitely different. But, you know, I always wonder when, like with my son, he runs, and I always ask him, like, what do you think about when you're running? Because he'll do long distances. He doesn't believe in listening to music. And he goes, I'm just alone with my thoughts, Mom. You know, I'm like, really? That's a long time to be alone in your thoughts, right? So when you're running, what fills your mind?
So your son's actually right. I too don't really run with headphones too much.
Really? Doesn't it feel like the race is longer though when you don't have any distraction?
When I run, that's when I try to lay out my day that's ahead of me. You know, like and you know, when you think about what you need to plan for the day, it takes away that you know, the uncomfortable feelings that one would have.
Your physical discomfort.
Exactly. Exactly. For me, I found that to be very true.
Yeah.
From my thinking, okay, what's next in my day? I got to plan this for work. I got to do this for, you know, for the folks at home, et cetera. So it's actually really good thinking time for me. So I have to agree with your son.
Oh my gosh, that's a long time to be alone with my thoughts. Okay. Yeah. What at which point did you, now you mentioned that you are actually, you coach runners now,
yes.
Right? You went from being a couch potato to running, and now you are a running coach. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel the need to help other people in their running journey?
Yeah, so I actually studied to become a running coach when I had a small injury after my last marathon in September of 24, mm-hmm. just last year. I wanted to keep on understanding the art of running. Mm-hmm. I decided to take up some certification courses to become a coach. But also because many of my friends, they turn to me for advice mm. about running too. You know, over the
even
years.
Though you weren't like a certified coach yet, but they had seen you right. on this journey.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, what kind of questions would they ask you that they needed help with?
Like, how do I start? Because I'm not a runner, but I want to get into it. Mm. What types of shoes should I wear?
Yeah.
You know, what's the right distance for me? Like, questions like that, very like just starting questions. Mm. I would answer them honestly, but I always say that's what worked for me. Mm. But every runner is different. Every person is different. Physiologically speaking, mm-hmm. what drives you is different. So, you know, I would say it depends on you. Mm.
So before we continue, we want to ask a quick favor. If you're enjoying this episode of Making Changes, would you kindly take just 30 seconds to subscribe? You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if this episode is speaking to you, we'd love for you to leave us a review. It really helps other people discover these stories of transformation and faith. Plus, we read every single one of them, and they truly encourage our hearts. Okay, back to our conversation.
You obviously went through a change. You've changed from the picture we showed earlier, right, to who you are now. What is that like to see or be part of people's change in life?
It is definitely a very humbling feeling mm-hmm. for me because I was them. Mm. I used to be that person, not knowing where to start, thinking of things as very daunting,
yeah.
right? Especially with the goals that we set for ourselves. But having them understand, getting empathy for them, mm-hmm. understanding where they're starting, but also telling them it is possible.
Mm.
And to know that, you know, I can at least have them realize it through my own story, that to me is so fulfilling in itself.
For you, the catalyst was health reasons, right? I need to run because I want to lose weight. I need to run because I need to lower my cholesterol. I need, you know, there's always a reason. But when it comes to your faith, how does becoming the best version of yourself for God help you in dealing with the future?
I mean, obviously, faith is what drives me every day. You know, that's how I start my day. I pray. I end my day with prayer too, right?
Do you pray before you run?
I do. Even while I'm running, mm-hmm. especially in a race, if I feel fatigued, I do pray. I never really mentioned that too much, but just like in life, when you want to give up, then in a run, if I want to give up, why not rely on God who gave me the strength, right? Again, it's a focus on not how strong I am, but how strong can God be in your life.
Mm.
That's what drives me forward. That's what makes me think not to worry about the future. God has given me the strength to overcome, you know, what I thought was impossible. He helped me reveal a version of myself that I never thought existed.
Yeah.
Right? What more can He do for your life? Mm. So going through what I went through, all the more solidified my faith.
Mm.
And there's no reason to abandon it at this point. That's what kept me going.
What would your advice be for people to not just start? Because I feel like starting is the easy part, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is your top three pieces of advice when it comes to how to stick to good habits?
Number one, create a network for yourself. Make sure you immerse yourself in a community that shares the same goals and passions as you, right? I'm happy that, you know, as a member of the church, we have brethren who are very passionate about running, and we've developed kind of a group for ourselves.
Do you have a run club in the church?
We don't have an official run club.
Yeah.
We can call ourselves a run club, I guess.
Yeah.
But we all have the same interests. We always see, okay, who's doing what this weekend? Who's running this and whatnot? We even put challenges for ourselves too, you know. But to be in that kind of community, That's what will help you, stay on target, right? Next thing I would say is, think about what is your goal, right? So people say like, I want to lose weight. Is that really your goal? When you have a set goal for yourself, whatever it is, if it really is to lose weight, you want to understand what is your end point, right? Because people just dive into it without thinking, what's my end goal?
So right.
Establish a goal for yourself and keep looking at that goal every single day.
To remind yourself of your why.
Remind yourself of your why. Because if you don't remind yourself of your why, you will lose your way. The third piece of advice, and I think it's probably the most important, do not chase perfection. Chase consistency. Take incremental steps so that it becomes a habit. You know, to take it one step at a time, one day at a time, one prayer at a time, right? That will propel you forward. And one day you're going to look back and think, I did that, you know, and you'll be very happy and you'll be very satisfied with what you just accomplished.
You mentioned one prayer at a time. How important is it to include God in changes in life like this, in what you went through?
Because who knows us better than the one who created us, right? We always, if you look at what people in today's world do, they turn to social media. They think of, maybe I should just really know my friends. Maybe I should go out with them and whatnot. But is that really that strength that you need to push you through? When you realize that the one who created you, who brought you into this world, is always by your side every moment, even when you're at your lowest, just like I was, you will find strength unlike ever before. And knowing that anything is possible. That's why it's so important. We have to recognize God is always present in our lives.
There might be young people watching or listening today who say, keep going. But, you know, it's easier said than done.
Yeah. Right?
It's, I'm sure when you were that kid, like, you can't pull yourself out of it on your own, right? What would you say to those who are struggling with that, who are struggling with identity, struggling with, you know, they want to be something else. They want to be someone who takes care of their health better, but they just can't shake off the identity or what everyone else has told them they are.
You know, that's a challenge today. Many people are sculpted by the perceptions others have of them, especially when it comes to younger generations, driven by social media, driven by comments in the family. But from a perspective of someone who's a member of the Church of Christ, we know our identity is obviously a servant of our Almighty God. And by acknowledging that, you realize that the perceptions of others in the world are meaningless compared to the perception God has of you.
So let's go back to this picture of you from a couple of years ago. And when you look back at perhaps the sadness that this JP felt, and then the picture of who you are today, what are your thoughts?
The one on the left would never think that the one on the right achieving that would ever be possible, right? Again, the one on the left set the stumbling blocks there himself. But the second he moved that stumbling block, this was the path forward. You know, yes, he would be shocked. He would be surprised. But I'm telling you, it's worth moving the block and just like, you know, jetting forward no matter the distance to reach this JP here today, who's so much stronger in many ways, not just physically, mentally, and most especially spiritually.
What do you think would have happened if this JP never took that step to move?
If this JP never took that step forward, you know, in this direction to this future JP, I mean, that sadness would be perpetual. You know, that the turning to what I'll consider a vice, which is comfort food, you know, that will keep on going and going and going, right? And to a point where who knows where his health would have went. And I mean, today I'm just happy I don't know that JP where that could have went, because we put that aside.
I keep going back to that moment you talked about when you were in the parking lot of the gym and thinking whether or not you should, you know, take that leap and start a new life and just start that change. What are your prayers today? I know you prayed in that car to say, God, please help me just
figure out what to do.
Yeah. What are your prayers today?
I think the biggest prayer is, you know, making sure that my family, myself, we have persistence, endurance, no matter what happens. Yeah. Because I've already witnessed firsthand what God can do for those who are faithful to Him,
mm-hmm.
right? Not letting go of that, that's so important. And that's what will get us through this crazy life that we
mm-hmm.
live in.
Mm-hmm. How has running changed your life?
It gave me, as they say, a new lease on life, I guess, if you mm-hmm. want to call it that. Because it really, as cliche as it sounds, it did give me hope. Because mm. when you run, you go a certain direction. It's always forward. You never go, well, unless the course goes back.
Yeah, but yeah, anyway, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean.
You're not stagnant.
You're not stagnant. You just keep on going. And what's the end goal? It's the finish yeah. line, right? Mm. And even though, you know, folks will want to compare how fast they were, it doesn't matter in a race how fast you go. What matters is that you cross the finish line. Just like in life, even spiritually speaking, we have our end goal
mm-hmm.
spiritually. Just keep going forward. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I learned from running. Just keep moving yourself forward. It's okay to take breaks every now and then. It's okay
to go slow.
To go slow. Because you just need to cross the finish line.
Do you stop and think about God's purpose in giving you a chance to just
keep on going?
Keep on going and just fix your mindset and everything else. Why do you think He gave you that chance?
Without this physical body being in our physical bodies in being in good shape,
mm-hmm.
how can we serve Him, right? That's our primary purpose in life. We can pursue whatever career we want, education, whatever we want in this life. But our primary goal, especially as members of the Church of Christ, God comes first,
mm.
right? I think He gave me the chance, first of all, to make me realize that I'm here. Will you lean on me now, right? Put God to the test as we're taught in worship service and then see what He can do for you. God made that happen, you know, in the life of my dad.
Your dad.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. And I'm happy where he is right now. Because you know, I was at this point where I didn't know what was going to happen to him. But he kept going on with his faith. Mm-hmm. He kept relying on the church elders to help him, right? That's what we got to do too. Me, my sisters, you know, my mom. We have to lean on our faith because God is always there. Right? He gave me the chance to get healthy because he wanted to make himself present that, hey, lean on me. I'm here. I've been with you all this time. Just trust me now.
Mm. What are the tears for?
Happiness, really.
Because
it's not just, you know, what happened to my dad, but just where I started.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just talking about this is just this point of realization that, again, life could have went an opposite direction. But I'm just really happy. I am where I'm at now, and I'm not stopping. That's mm-hmm. for sure. As even though people call me crazy for running long distances until now, you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on going because, you know, I really have a new look on this life that God has given me. It's really just tears of happiness and gratitude, for sure.
Mm. What's next for JP? Where are you going to run to next?
Oh, boy. This year, I actually have three marathons ahead of me this year. Yeah. So I have a marathon coming up in June in Minnesota, which should be a very fun one. It's right by the Finger Lakes or the Great Lakes?
Great Lakes, I think. Yeah.
For whoever's from there, please forgive me for not knowing my geography. But
yeah.
But yes, like running along that route is very flat, so I'm hoping to do a personal best there. My family will be coming with me, of course. Next one is in August. I'll be going to Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
Yes. That I'm very excited for.
Is the race by the Opera House?
It actually ends at the Opera House.
I know you brought some memorabilia here.
Oh, yes.
Talk about these Talk about, okay, I know you've run more than one medal. So what's the significance of this one?
So this medal is from the Berlin Marathon that I ran in September of 2024. Yes, Berlin, Germany. This is significant because this is my best performance on a marathon.
What was your time?
So it was 3 hours, 25 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I started off, my slowest time was like 4 hours, 35. Now it's 3 hours and 25. Yeah,
did you stop at all then? So what was
your
pace?
No, I kept going.
What was your pace?
That averages out to be between 7:46 per mile. About, yes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. 7:46.
With proper nutrition and hydration and fueling, it's definitely possible.
Wow, that is fast.
Right.
So that's your PR.
This is my PR medal for sure. Mm-hmm. So I really, you know, remember this fondly.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe in the coming marathons.
You'll even do better.
Let's see.
Yeah, and this shirt?
And this is my running singlet that I wore for the New York City Marathon, actually. So I had my name printed in the front, actually.
Mm.
There's this thing with runners where you want to put your name on the shirt. So to give encouragement, they know your name and they call it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so for anyone that wants to get into running, if you're running a race, try to put your name in the front. It will give you that mental boost that
so
you need.
So they'll say, JP, keep going. And
Exactly. But this is actually very important because after my dad's diagnosis, this was the first marathon that I ran. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we always made sure that he was with us because he always had our back.
Mm.
So I say that, you know, as a show that he always had our back, I actually had his name printed in the back too of my shirt. So just to say that, you know, this is the guy who helped push us through, you know. And it's cool because I hear people, you know, saying his name. And I would hear his name, you can do it, you can do it. And in my head, I'm like, that's what I would tell my dad too, despite what's going on. So I always make this a thing where I have, you know, his name on the back of my singlet.
Because he's always had your back.
Exactly.
How special is it that your dad is here to witness all of this?
It is very special to me. Even though, you know, this is not a traditional stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
For him to witness an accomplishment like this for me as a child, it means a lot to know that my dad is there and he's proud of it.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, after the New York City Marathon, when I saw him after the finish line, I got emotional. And I took off my medal and I put it on him, you know, just to say that, you know, we did this. Not just me. We did this. He started to tear up too. So you know, it's to show that, yes, I know I'm running it, but we're doing this all together. And it's not just my dad, my entire family too.
Yeah.
We're going through this all together just to show that we can move ourselves forward.
And I think that's what it is. That's what really sustains you, the way you talk about your family, your dad. That's so deep. Your why is so deep. You know, even though it began with, well, I want to get healthier, I want my cholesterol to go down. But your why is so deeply rooted that it is beyond you.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond running.
It is.
Right? It's now become not just a family tradition, but, you know, to know that you've got the kind of support that you have.
Exactly. And, you know, not just running, but some people find it hard to get that support, whatever it is in life, right? For me, the blessing that my family is there, you know, I lean on them so much, right? And I'm grateful that they're there. That's that motivation I needed to get me past 26.2 miles. That's the motivation I needed to even go from the former JP to where I am now.
You know, you're going to... You've inspired me. I think I'm going to, when I get home, I'm going to
Do you want to go for a run
jogging.
After this?
I don't have my shoes though, but I'm already making excuses. No, but I think there is something really powerful about doing something that you love. And listening to your story, listening to you, it is beyond running. You have found yourself, JP. You have found, you know, through prayer, you have found the confidence. You have found the possibilities of what you can do as a person, that simple change of getting out of your car and getting on a treadmill, it started so small. But change doesn't happen with big leaps. Change happens with trickles, right?
Exactly.
Trickles of small habits. That's the thing we forget sometimes as children of God, that we can do anything because we're not alone. Your dad has your back, but you actually have your dad and God who has your back.
Right.
All we got to do is ask God, please help me to do this. Give me the strength, right? And he's got our back always.
Agreed. You know, this journey didn't even start off because of running. It's because I wanted to make a change in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And no matter what the challenge is, just take a single step. You're right. You don't have to make a big leap forward. Just take one tiny step. Let it sit. Then you can take another step. And you'll be surprised by what you can accomplish.
And I really love your parallelism between running, the whole concept of race and a finish line, because it's so easy to stop in the middle of a race and just go back. It's so easy to just stop and just go off on the side and no one will even know that you've left the race, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like your dad said, to keep going. And I think that phrase, it's as simple as two words, right? As simple as it is, it can be used for anything in any stage of life.
Right.
And before we go, I have quick rapid questions for you because we do rapid fire questions.
Okay.
I'm going to, some stuff I'm going to just make up. My go-to food for fuel before I run is?
Peanut butter and wheat bread.
Why?
Easy carbohydrates.
Oh, wheat bread and peanut
wheat
butter.
Wheat bread, yes. So remember,
that's protein, isn't it?
A little bit of protein, but it's not high in protein.
Is it better to run on an empty stomach or not?
That's a tricky question because one can run fasted, but what did you eat the day before? Oh. Is it enough to give you the fuel that you need for the preceding day? Assuming that you're running in the morning, right?
What you eat the day before can affect your run the next day?
Yes. If you're preparing for a race, you carb load days in advance to give you the fuel that you need to push forward on race day. Right? But in general, you never want to have an empty stomach, right? So,
how many hours of sleep before a run?
Ideally, we should get the full 8. Am I trying to achieve that? I'm trying. Keyword is trying to achieve that because, you know, work and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you should really get the full 8 to 9 hours of sleep prior.
See, I can't run today because I only had 3 hours sleep.
Okay,
last night.
So that's we'll let that go. I'll check in with you tomorrow.
Okay. The best way to not cramp on a run is
taking enough sodium. So when people cramp, it could be two reasons. One, strength training is a big deal, making sure that you supplement running with strength training on the side. Other part of cramping is sodium intake.
Change is what?
Change is up to you. It's up to you where you go from here, right? We hear, you know, what is a good change? That's all on you, right? I can't define what change you should make. You define that for yourself.
Well, JP, thank you so much. I'm just so enlightened by your story, and I think you're going to give people so much hope in being able to just make that first step into change for the good.
And thank you so much for having me today. I'm actually honored to be here with you.
JP's story began with a prayer in a parking lot, but it didn't end there. The man who once believed he wasn't the athletic type is now encouraging young people in his New Jersey congregation to lace up their running shoes. He's showing them the same thing his father showed him in that hospital room. Keep going, even when life gets tough. Sometimes the greatest change isn't just what happens to you. It's who you become for others. If you're sitting in your own parking lot right now, well, maybe it's time to pray. Take a deep breath and see what's possible when you refuse to accept the limits others placed on you. Remember, anything is possible through faith, one step at a time. If JP's journey encouraged you, share this with someone who needs to hear that faith can flourish in the hardest of seasons. For more Making Changes podcasts, visit iansmedia.org or find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening, and may your change uplift you.